Okay, at the beginning of this year today, I would like just to... At the beginning of this year today, I would just like to invite all the new alumni of the yeshiva that just became alumni in the last 15 hours, and there are actually about 20 of them here, totally focused on the shiur. Okay, Ziba's new idea, new concept was a fascinating one, and that is, since we're about to start a new cycle of Daf Yomi, maybe the way to go is on a weekly basis to give one lumdasha and ashkafa concept from the seven daf that were learned in that specific week, and that way we could have some sort of thread in Mahalach. Very impressive. It happens to be that I just walked into the house a couple of minutes ago and understood that Daf Yomi today is Nida Daf Tet Zayin. So what we're going to do is we're going to focus on the sugya Nida Daf Tet Zayin, and through that, we're going to get on to the bouncing board this way and hopefully do this in the right way. So a very, very famous sugya in Nida Daf Tet Zayin is the following. The Gemara says that Malach HaMemune Ala HaYirayon, Hirayon Shmo. The angel that is in charge of pregnancy, his name is Pregnancy. And what does he do? No Til Teapot. He brings a drop of sperm in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he asks him, Tipazu, Ma Tialeya. What's going to be the consequences of this drop? And the answer, and he gives him options. Chacham, I'm sorry, he gives him a few options. Tipesh, Chacham, Ani, Oshir. In other words, he gives him a few options. Is going to be smart or stupid, wealthy or poor. The Ilu Tzadik Verosha Lokamar, that Kol Bidei Shamayim, Chutz Mira Shamayim. Tzadik or Rasha, he does not mention, because everything is up to Shamayim, Chutz Mira Shamayim. So I would like to develop a discussion here on Bechira Chofshis in a little bit, in a few different ways, and hopefully that will be the opening for this Daf Yomi concept. There's several different conversations to develop in Bechira Chofshis. I want to take one fundamental machlokas we've shown to start off with, and that's the machlokas between the Rambam and Ramban. But before we do that, we have to go ahead and discuss the sugyas behind it, and that is the impact that astrology may have on a person's pure chafshis. In Chazal, that is called mazalos. And the question is, do mazalos or anything external have an impact on individual's pure chafshis, or is an individual totally free in terms of his capability in making decisions and having a accurate and exact pure all by himself? So, there are several Gemaras that discuss this. The pinnacle, and maybe the most essential Gemara, is the Gemara in the end of Masechet Shabbos, the Gemara in Daf Kuf Nun Zayin in Masechet Shabbos, but there are a few other Gemaras. Let me start with the Gemara in Masechet Sota Daf Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara says that Arbaim Yom Kodim Yetziris HaVlad, 40 days before the Vlad, the fetus, is created, Baskol Yotzeis, Basco announces and says, Bain Ploni Labas Ploni, Sada Ploni Laploni. Basco comes out and tells us who is going to marry who and who's going to own what real estate and what fields. The piece of real estate and fields, Lechor, is not connected at all to Abchir Chavshis, because we already suggested before, as the Gemara said in today's daf, and that is, Akol Bidei Shamayim, Chutz Mir Shamayim, and the Malach gets a psak from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether or not he's going to be an Ani Asher. That makes sense. But the question of who he's going to marry, Lechor, is fundamental to an individual's Bechira Chofshis. And if it's fundamental to an individual's Bechira Chofshis, how is it shayach that that's Tolui and Mazel? The Gemara, by the way, goes on to answer, by the way, some sort of misunderstanding. The Gemara says, how does that work with the Chazal of Kashal Zavgon Kekriyas Yamsuf? And the Gemara answers, Hai Bezivu Grishon, Hai Bezivu Ksheni. Meaning the first marriage of an individual is set based on his mazel. That's what Rashi points out. The second marriage of an individual is set not based on his mazel, but based on his behavior. So that means that we could have a guy who's totally focused on his Avodas Hashem, totally developed in his Avodas Hashem, but since his mazel was to marry a certain woman who's a Rasha, who's a Rishayis, who's not going to have a positive impact on his life, he's going to marry her. L'chor, there is no Pchira Chavshis. That's what seems to be the pshat in this Gemara. But there is a Gemara in Masechet Moed Katan Daf Yud Chet Amud Beis. The Gemara has a little bit of a different understanding on this. The Gemara goes ahead and says that the Mishnah points out that you're allowed to be Ma'aris and Isha on Chol HaShel Moed. You're allowed to be Mekadesh and Isha on Chol HaMoed. Yes, because the Gemara, why? The Gemara seems to indicate that it's a Dabar Aved. If you're not going to be Mekadesh on Chol HaMoed, then somebody else is going to grab her. Somebody else is going to chop her. Yes, because the Gemara, how could you suggest that somebody else is a chaper? Arbaim Yom Kovin Yitzirah Savlad. He's already mazel of who he's going to marry. Answers the Gemara, Shema Yagdimenu Acher Berachamim. Maybe somebody through his tefillah, the Yerushalmi Mamish uses a lashon b'tefillah, l'chor, that's the same. Maybe somebody through his tefillah, or maybe Rachamim usually means the Bavli tefillah. Maybe you could expand that to Midos and tefillah. But a guy has a mazel to marry Mamish, a woman who's not, you know, not going to help him in his Avodas Hashem. On the contrary, she's going to be very problematic. But he's mispalat to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's helping with the Zivug. Mimela, he's going to be able to overcome his mazel and marry a better woman. So we see here that tefillah helps to overcome the mazel. So it's interesting. Arbaim Yom Kodim Yitzirah Savlad, according to this, just means that that is a tendency, but not a fact. And therefore, a person has the capability to overcome his tendency, but not through his Bechira Chavshis. L'chora, through his tefillah, which then HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps him Kivyachol overcome his tendencies in those ways. And very interesting, the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos that I mentioned before has a big discussion in Yesh Mazel Yisrael or Ein Mazel Yisrael, and the Gemara ends up in a conclusion with Rabbi Akiva. In Daf Kufnun Zayin Amud Beis, the Gemara brings the following Meimer of Rabbi Akiva. I'm a Rabbi Akiva, Ein Mazel Yisrael, B'tzaka Tatzil Mimavis V'lo Mimita Mishuna. Asks the Gemara, how do we know Ein Mazel? How does Rabbi Akiva know this? The Gemara says a story with Rabbi Akiva's daughter. What's the story of Rabbi Akiva's daughter? When she was born, she was taken to the astrologist who told her that she's going to die in a strange way on the day of a wedding. And what happened was, is on the day of a wedding, she put, after the wedding, she put her clip in a hole in the wall above her bed, and in the morning she woke up and she found a dead snake on the hole in the wall, on the pin. So Rabbi Akiva ran to ask her, what did you do? So she said, yesterday an ani came to knock on the door and I gave him rifta, I gave him bread. So based on that, Rabbi Akiva concluded, staka tatzil mimavet velo mimita mishuna. Okay, that I understand, but ain mazel Yisrael. And l'chori, here you have to figure out, what do you mean, Ein Mazel Yisrael? You just finished telling me that it actually happened exactly the way the Mazalo said it's going to happen. The only thing is that she did a mitzvah specifically of tzedakah, which we've already learned that b'chneni na b'kach, if you're allowed to test HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzvah tzedakah, she did the mitzvah of tzedakah in order to kivyachol challenge HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on this specific topic, and therefore, l'chora, what it means to say Ein Mazel Yisrael, even according to Rabbi Akiva, is not that mazalos don't exist. Mazalos exist, but the impact on mazalos could be done through tzedakah and possibly through rachamim, as we see in the Gemara Moed Katan, the Gemara in Shabbos. Based on this, the Ramban brought down in the Nemukei Yosef on Daf Tzayin Amud Beis, the Tapei Arif in Masechet Sanhedrin. The Nemukei Yosef brings down a Ramban, that the Ramban says that based on this we can understand the following conclusion. And that is that mazalos actually really have an impact on Am Yisrael also. Elamai, it's a gzeri mishesh yimei bereshis. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, that mazalos could have an impact on the world. Elamai, a person could be mispalat to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he could work on his Avodas Hashem in order to overcome his mazalos. That's Ramban's conclusion. The Rambam, in Perek Yud Aleph of Hilchos Avodos Kochavim, the Rambam goes to town on this concept. And the Rambam says that only Nashim and Ktanim are able to believe that there is a mazel. Mazel has no impact whatsoever, says the Rambam, on anybody. There ain't no such a thing, the Rambam says. And maybe there's an issue of mechashef if you're involved in understanding and reading the mazelos. And in Melu, we have a fundamental machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. I will get to this in 2 minutes by bringing in also Shita Satosis. But what's the fundamental machlokas? The Ramban holds that mazelos works and has an impact on Am Yisrael. And the Rambam holds, but you could overcome it. The Rambam holds, there ain't no such a thing. It doesn't exist. The Rambam holds clearly that an individual has Bechira Chavshis. There are scenarios, the Rambam says, that a person is punished to remove his Bechira Chavshis. And the Rambam points out that that is a scenario of Paro, by Achbar Hashem, his slave Paro, that Paro was punished, that his punishment was to remove his Bechira Chavshis. But an individual constantly has Bechira Chavshis unless he's punished to go ahead and the Bechira Chavshis is removed from him. Nothing can impact an individual's Bechira Chavshis according to the Rambam unless he's punished with that punishment which removes his Bechira Chavshis. The Ramban understands, of course an individual could be impacted on his Bechira Chavshis and he could be impacted on his Bechira Chavshis, but then he could also overcome his Bechira Chavshis. I would like to suggest the Ramban also in a slightly rational way and say that the Ramban is not necessarily talking about astrology or astronomy in the way where we know it. Rather, what he's talking about possibly is that an individual might be born with certain type of tendencies. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the DNA of an individual. In his building of his DNA is built up in a puzzle of his father and his mother. When we mail him certain tendencies and certain netios that he might have in those tendencies. But says the Ramban, even though that's true, that doesn't mean that you can't overcome it. Meaning if I have a tendency of laziness, that does not mean that I can't overcome my laziness by the fact that I'm working on it. I can break that meat of laziness, but it's going to be very difficult for me to work on it and break it. But when I succeed to break it, I'm in control. I might have ups and downs, but I'm in control. I might have a meat of gaiva. That might be either natural tendencies or maybe surroundings. I'm not getting into the question of nature and nurture right now, but it doesn't make a difference. By the time I'm already a mature human being, I might have a real tendency of gaiva. Says the Ramban, okay, that's a tendency of gaiva, but you can fight it. Don't go ahead and assume and understand that that's your tendency and you cannot fight it. That is the Ramban's pshat if you want to take it in a rational perspective. The Rambam, if that's true, maybe there's no real machlokas, the Rambam holds just that a person in his birth has no tendencies whatsoever. Meaning DNA is not going to have personality impacts. DNA is just going to have biological impacts and not personality impacts. Personality impacts or personality attractions or whatever it might be, those are going to be impacted, not the DNA, but those are going to be totally nurture impacted, and therefore a person in his birth is completely a zero, the Rambam would say, neither a negative nor a plus. He's completely at that point. Very famous words of the Michtav Melio on this concept. I just want to say it anyways, just to make sure that we put it in the right context. The Michtav Melio has a concept called Nekuda Sabchira. And the Nekuda Sabchira of the Michtav Melio is as follows. That in Achinami he says that a person is born in scenarios that sometimes make certain things impossible. If I was born to parents that are mass murderers, to expect me to become a normal Eved Hashem is impossible. If I was born as a Jew in a place where there's no Torah mitzvos, to expect me to be a person who's mekayim Torah mitzvos is close to impossible. So what? How does that explain my Bechira Chavshis? How is it possible, says Rabbi Leo Dessler, that if I was born to a Rosh Yeshiva, my Bechira Chavshis is the same as a person that was born to some Jew in Hawaii, in some crazy place that has no idea whatsoever of Torah and Avodah Hashem? How could you compare the two things and say that both of them have the same mission and the same goal? Says Rabbi Michtav Melio, that he doesn't understand it in that context. He understands that in Achinami, every individual in this world has a different mission. And his mission is based on his Nekudas HaBchira. And in Achinami, you can't compare between the person who was born to the Rosh Yeshiva and the person who was born, you know, in Hawaii. They're not comparable. We male assistants are not comparable. Their Bechira Chofshis, their Nekudas HaBechira, is going to be totally different. And he goes ahead one step further. How does one identify as Nekudas HaBechira? He says an unbelievable message, and I think this message is awesome for everybody, but specifically for the alum that just became alumni again in the last 15 hours. His message is mamish awesome. His message is that if you want to identify Nekudas HaBechira, you have to identify your most difficult challenges. Because strategically, if I was a coach of a team, or if I was a chief in the army, and my goal is strategically and tactfully to go ahead and attack the other army or the other team, where would I attack it most fully? In its soft spot. It doesn't make sense to confront it in its strong spot. It makes sense to identify it in its soft spot. And therefore, Mimela, that's why that is the way to identify a Nekudas HaBechira. You want to know what your Nekudas HaBechira is? You want to know what your Nekudas HaBechira is? Your Nekudas HaBechira is exactly the area that you have most challenges in. That's the area where Yetzer Hara Kivyachol is constantly attacking you because he knows that that's your soft spot. Because if he would attack you in a way where it doesn't make a difference, why would he attack you in an area where it doesn't make a difference? See, only will attack you, says the Michtam Eliyahu, in areas where it makes a difference. Because if it's a lost cause and you don't have any Bechira Chofshis, why would he attack you there? So he'll definitely attack you in the area where you are most sensitive. So if your problem is getting up for morning in the minyan, that means that your Nekudas HaBechira is exactly to get up in the morning. If you're a lazy bum, your Nekudas HaBechira is to overcome that situation. If you don't have any zitz flesh, your Nekudas HaBechira is to tie your tuchus to the chair and to start learning. That is exactly the scenario, says the Michtam Eliyahu, of an individual's Bechira Chofshis. I'm going to get back to this at the end just to wrap it up, but I want to talk about one point very quickly. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Amud Aleph has a very, very famous story. The Gemara says that Chizkiyo didn't get married, says the Gemara, because he saw that he's going to have children that are not going to be Avdei Hashem. And he was about to die. And Chazal pointed out to him, and they told him, Behedi Kapshi Derachmona Lamalach. Why are you getting involved in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Cheshbonos? What's going to happen with your kids is going to happen with your kids, but you in reality are not supposed to get involved in that. And here, I think, again, there's two Sheikhs and Tosos how to understand this, but here I think the Yesod for us is tremendous. And that Yesod is to understand as follows. At the end of the day, a person has to continue plowing and working constantly. He never could go ahead and say, you know, this is not my Nekudas HaBechira, or this is above my capabilities, or this is out of my reach, or this is out of my power, or this is out of my capability of understanding. That is not acceptable. That, at the end of the day, is Behedei Kafshi Derachmana Lamalach. Don't get involved in that. Your goal is to constantly continue moving along, to constantly continue schlepping it on your shoulder and saying, okay, I'm giving it another time, I'm giving it another chance, I'm giving it another whack, I'm swinging at it again. And I'm finally at some point going to be able to hit this ball out of the field. I don't have the power, I don't have the energy, the heavy cops do Rachman Alamalach. Don't get involved in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Cheshbonos. Meaning, this discussion of Bechira Chofshis should not have a practical implication. By the way, we spoke about Shiduchim in the beginning. This is definitely the right Hashkafa regarding Shiduchim. The whole discussion, I'm standing here out on the street around Lot Beit Shemesh, so I just hope nobody kills me, but the whole discussion of Bashert or not Bashert, in my mind, is ridiculous. And Achinami, the Sadim and Chazal, that there's some sort of Mahalach for an individual, and that was Abayim Yom Kodit Tzuris of Lot. But it's totally out of our question. It's irrelevant to us. It's not even an issue that we should be asking or discussing. We should not even arrange that. That's Behedi Kafshi Derachman Alamalach. We have to be mispalo, we have to work on our midos, we have to work on our avodas Hashem, and we have to go out and find the right zivug, the right shirk for ourselves, regardless of the calculation, is this bashert or not bashert, is this what was meant to be or not meant to be. That's totally irrelevant for us. I'm just going to end off with a piece that we might have mentioned in the past, but I think it ties everything together. The Pasuk says in Binyan HaMishkan, in Parshas Truma, the Pasuk says, Zav HaChesev V'Nechoshes, right, with bringing Truma of gold, silver, and copper, and then it goes on. And at the end of everything, it says, Avnei Shom, Avnei Miluim, La'ifod V'la'choshem. Ask the Arachayim HaKadosh a very simple question. Zav, Chesef, Nechoshet, all make sense. It's a digression in value. Gold is more valuable than silver. Silver is more valuable than copper and so on. But why in the world are the Avnei Shom and Avnei Miluim, La'ifod V'la'choshem on the bottom of the list? Beautiful stones and gems should be towards the top of the list. They should not be on the bottom of the list. Why do they appear on the bottom of the list? Says Yerach HaKadosh, an awesome concept. The Gemara Maseches Yuma teaches us that the Nesiim, the Pasuk says the Nesiim brought the Avnei Shom, Avnei Miluim. Asks the Gemara, who are the Nesiim? Answers the Gemara, two answers, either the Nesiim Mamish or the Anani HaKavot. Says the Racham HaKadosh, Pshat here in the Pasuk is that the Anani HaKavot are the ones that brought the Avnei Shom, Avnei Miluim. It came from the heavens. And since they did not have to work for it, did not have to sweat for it, it came easy, it's on the bottom of the list. Something may be objectively valuable, but it's not subjectively valuable because it's natural to you. Then even though it's objectively valuable, it's going to be on the list, but be on the bottom. So when we're building our Mishkan, when we're building our Migdash, we have to realize that we have to bring everything which is natural to us and we're naturally talented with. But we also have to bring things which are not naturally talented with. And everything we would fight for and work for and sweat for is going to be on the top of the list, even though objectively it's less valuable than the Avnei Shoam, the Avnei Miluim, La'ifod V'la'chosha. So everybody has to find their Zahav, their Nechoshes, no, their Kesef and their Nechoshes, and also their Avnei Shoam, the Avnei Miluim, La'ifod V'la'chosha. It's all needed for the Mishkan, but the top of the list is going to be that which we work for. Because at the end of the day, if we connect this to the Michtam Eliyahu, that is our Nekudas HaBchira. At the end of the day, that is the point that we're being challenged in. At the end of the day, when we effort, when we sweat, when we succeed, when we push and pump and get to the end of it, then that is the Zav, Achesev, and Achoshet. It's going to be on top of the list. And we'll also have Avnei Shom, Avnei Miluim, welcome aboard again to all the new alum to the Shir. Bez Hashem, we will hear you on the phone in 1 week's time. Thank you very much.